Well, hey, for those of you who participated in the Matthew 25 challenge, you will notice that the presenter on the video, one of the presenters, is here with us this morning. Don, who is also an Evangelical Covenant Church pastor or former pastor, served in a church out in California, and he was a worship leader, and now he's serving full-time with World Vision. So he's here with us this morning, and Brett Power, he represents the area here for World Vision. He lives in Shawnee Mission, no, where is it, Sean? Overland Park. They're all the same out there in Kansas City, right? Overland Park. And how many, all right, and so that's great. So I will, I have a question for you later, all right? And Ashley's back there working the cameras and such, and so we're grateful for World Vision being here. It's a very special Sunday as we wrap up the Matthew 25 challenge. How many did the challenge this past week? All right. How many slept on the floor? All right. Less hands, but thank you for doing that. And we fasted, and it was a great thing, and we won't revisit that, but I want to ask you, how many did the Matthew 25 challenge? That's my question to you, Brett. 190 from this church did the Matthew 25 challenge in response to, yeah. So thank you for being committed to experiencing the empathy of Christ on behalf of others. So let's welcome Don today and welcome him with a countryside welcome. Thanks for being here, bro.
Well, good morning. Good morning. That was a test. All right, you're here. You're with me. All right. With that Matthew 25 challenge, I believe one of the challenges is a daily challenge. You had to do something every day, for those that don't know. And one of the days was to wear the same clothes 2 days in a row. You guys remember that? I'm sure some of you are like, well, that's not a challenge. I do that all the time, right? Well, we are excited about what God is doing at World Vision and at Countryside Church, and it is turned our world upside down, and that's what we're talking about this morning, the upside down kingdom of God. And when I take a look at my life, I can see some upside downness there too. Before joining this amazing team at World Vision for the last 10 years, I was an ECC pastor for over 11 years. I had a band that traveled the country. While I was doing that, I was a mortgage loan officer. I was a radio host in Baltimore, Maryland as well. I had a startup media company. And in my free time, once a year, I drive to San Diego, California, to attend this convention called Comic-Con, dressed as a Ghostbuster, sporting a proton pack that I built from scratch, working lights, sound effects. People actually think that I can catch ghosts with this. Actually, I think I have caught one or two, because busting makes me feel good. All right? Now, guess what my major was in college? Behavioral biology. Yes, it makes sense, right? No, it makes no sense. I was on the unsuccessful road to becoming a doctor, but I did go into acting for a bit. I was an actor so that I can say I'm not a real doctor, but I play one on TV, right? Now, when we take a look at Scripture, when we take a look at God's Word, the larger narrative of Scripture, we do see some upside-downness there as well. We follow a king who washes our feet. We follow a teacher who uses examples like the Good Samaritan, like turning the other cheek, and faith like a tiny mustard seed. We follow a coach who calls short people to slay giants, stutterers to be his spokespeople, farmers and fishermen to be to be his prophets. We follow a CEO who uses misfits and failures to be on a senior leadership team. We follow Jesus. We follow the one who built his entire church on the one who betrayed him the most. We follow a shepherd who would leave the 99 for the one. Amen? Come on, amen? Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Everything about the Bible we believe in, the God we serve, the Jesus we follow, is upside down from the current world we live in, from the ways of this world, right? And when you follow the Lord consistently throughout your life, you start to see that there's some beauty in it. There's beauty watching God move counterculturally. Would you turn to your neighbor and just say, there's beauty there? And And then to that other neighbor, turn to your other neighbor and say, I know. Yeah. Because it's like right here, right? You're saying, yeah, it's me. No, absolutely, it's you and then some, right? Take a look at Isaiah 61:3. It says, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. Now, if my kids brought me ashes, the only thing I would give them are questions like, where did you get that? Where's the vacuum? Not what's about to happen in this verse, right? God will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. Things that seem worthless, things that are painful to us. God sees that, and there's this exchange that happens. There's this transformation that happens. That's something that where we see worthlessness, God sees worth. God makes it worthy. It's upside down. Amen? Would you say that with me? Upside down. All right. Now, I've been happily married for almost 25 years. Yeah. That's right. I got married at the age of 7. No, kids, I'm just joking. All right. It's a joke. It's an old person joke. So, this is a picture of my family. It's an older picture, but I love it. We call this the family tree picture. I've shown this on several church stages, and it wasn't until recently someone was really upset. I was in Washington State, which is where I currently live, and gave the sermon. Someone came up really angry. They had an angry face and all, and said, Don, did you have permission to be on that tree? And I was like, whoa, like Washington folks are serious about their trees. So for the record, I am pro-tree. For the record, I love trees, all right? So here's a picture of my family standing next to trees. Now, I have 3 kids, and when I look at the upside-down love of God, I see it play out differently in all 3 kids. Take, for example, my oldest daughter, Abigail. She was born with a condition called aniridia, which means she's born without irises in her eyes, and she can't see too well. She's technically legally blind. But imagine being a first-time parent. You don't have this parenting thing down. You don't know what's up. Your lack of sleep and everything. And then you go to the doctor, and they say there's something wrong with your baby that no surgery can fix. And you don't know. You've never even heard of such a diagnosis before. My wife and I went home from our appointment, and we just started crying. We started asking God, why? What is going on? Will she be able to, like, make friends, go to normal school? Will she be able to get a job? Like, all these future questions, like, what is going to happen to her? Like, how is she going to survive this? And through our questioning, we heard God say this to us. Just love her. I'll take care of the rest. Well, fast forward, she just graduated college. And guess what she got into while in college? This wasn't her major, by the way. She got into video editing. Something that requires vision and precision. And she wasn't just into it, she got really good at it. So much so, she was the university's chief video editor. She got paid to do this. And one of the things it shows me is that, again, God doesn't just call the equipped. He does equip those he calls. And when we stop to take a look at ourselves, the good, the bad, the ugly, God sees it all. He sees it all. And still, he chooses us exactly how we are. He chooses to die for us and give everything to us. It really doesn't make any sense. It seems foolish. It seems wasteful. It seems upside down. But again, there's beauty in it. There's a beauty there. Now, this congregation, we know this. We know this in our heads. We know this. We've experienced it. We wouldn't be here today, sitting here, if we didn't experience the love of God in that way. But I'd love for us to take a moment this morning to pause and just really experience the presence of God. So would you do this? Because maybe this morning you came in and you feel like all you have are ashes. All you have is just despair and mourning. But know that God is here. So would you take a few moments and just, would you close your eyes and As you have your eyes closed, would you think about 2 to 3 shortcomings? 2 to 3 things you don't like about yourself. Maybe some failures. I'm not going to have you share them with a neighbor or write it on a card or anything like that. Just a quiet moment. And then once you get those things, what I would love for you to do is just imagine Jesus sitting right in front of you right now. He's looking you in the eyes. Hear him say this to you. I see you. I choose you. I love all of you. My child, please stop thinking about your failures and what the world calls you. You are my beloved. I died for you. And I love everything about you. I would leave the 99 sheep over and over again for eternity on end just to be with you. You can open your eyes now. Now, some of you, you were in that moment, you pictured it, and you were like, whew, that was a good resetter, that was a good moment. Now, and then some of you also maybe experienced some resistance in that moment. If you're like me, sometimes you have days where it's hard to understand that God not only loves me, but that he likes me too, right? Like we sometimes it just blows my mind that God would use broken people like me to do his great things. Because I start going in that downward spiral of, you know, like, I'm not this. You may be like, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I don't even know how many books in the Bible there are, right? You go down like, wait, is it 88? No, that's how many keys are on a piano, right? It's not that. You may disqualify yourself constantly to doing great things for the Lord. And you know what God says with all those I am not statements? Is I know you're not, but I am. It doesn't matter what your background is, your education, your skills, what the world tells you can or cannot do, whether you have irises in your eyes and can see well or not, when we accept this foolish love of God personally and let it become our identity, none of the sin, none of our failures, none of our shortcomings, none of what the world calls us, but only live into the fact that he chooses us and that we are his beloved, then, my friends, we are truly free. And we love to be free. Amen? You see, in that freedom, though, in return, there's one thing God does ask of us. One thing. It's to do the same for others. To join him in joyfully passing on this love with everything that we have. To give that same foolish and upside down love to others in this world, especially to those that are hurting and vulnerable. And you might be like, Don, where in the Bible does it say that? Pretty much everywhere. But we're going to camp out in this passage once again that we've been camping out in all week, starting from last Sunday and beyond. Matthew 25, verse 34. Reads, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And verse 40 is the kicker here. Can we read this together? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. God bless the reading of his word. Now, what does it mean to do the same for others as God has done for us? Well, according to these verses, according to what Jesus just said, you can really boil it down to two constants, two pillars, right? And the first pillar is this, that we are called to restore broken circumstances. We're called to restore the broken circumstances surrounding the most vulnerable, impoverished people in our world. to provide relief in a tangible way to some of the terrifying and horrible circumstances to those that have so little in this world. But if we're not careful, that's the first pillar. But if we're not careful, we'll easily gloss over the second pillar. When Jesus calls the people who are hungry, thirsty, homeless, and hurting, those that have the least in this world, he calls them his what? What does he call them? Yes, brothers and sisters. That's important. He calls them his brothers and sisters because in so doing, he affirms their inherent dignity as image bearers of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus knows in this passage, he knows human nature. Even today, we protect this false narrative. We live into this quite often where if people have less, then they are less. And if I have more, well, that must mean I am more. But in verse 40, Jesus destroys that lie. Brothers and sisters of mine. He says, just when you are restoring a broken circumstance, don't you dare forget to affirm their inherent dignity as a child of God because they bear my image, the image of the one true King. These are the pillars, the two pillars, the constants of the upside-down kingdom of God. Pillar number one, we're called to restore broken circumstances. And pillar number two, we're to affirm the inherent dignity of others. That's what it's all about. We are restorers and affirmers. We are what? Restorers and? This side of the room gets it. We got this, right? We're with me, all right. Restorers and affirmers. All right, but confession time. It's hard to do both. It's really hard to do both because when we see a broken circumstance, we tend to get laser focused on that circumstance. We spend time, energy, money into fixing whatever that is. We get into solution mode, fix. And oftentimes we forget about the very people that we're serving. The people become projects. And let me tell you, people don't like to be treated like projects. I've been around the world and it's true everywhere. Right? Or you flip to the other side, where you see something tragic on the news, and your heart gets broken, and you're like, oh, we got to do something, what do we do? And you get so overwhelmed that you start to think, well, what can I do? I'm sure somebody else will take care of it. And then you end up doing nothing at all. But when we courageously say yes to being both restorers and affirmers, when we courageously say yes to help building the upside-down kingdom of God, you know what happens? Not only do the people that we help, their lives change, not only are the communities we serve transformed, but our lives are also transformed, changed in ways we never thought possible. This is my friend Goitom. Now, Goitom's from Ethiopia, and my wife and I are proud to sponsor him for many, many years now. And we knew about sponsorship. We sponsored kids through World Vision way before this, and we knew the power of sponsorship, right? $39 a month. It's like a subscription with eternal dividends. It really is. So we knew that going in, but to get the opportunity to actually meet your sponsored child, it's a whole level of different kind of engagement. I was just so excited at the hotel that morning. I was like, oh my gosh, let's get all my clothes on. And I was like, well, honey, what shoes should I wear? Which I never asked that, but I did because I was so nervous. And my wife just looked at me like, I don't think it really matters. Let's just go. So we went. We got to see Goitom, and I brought a backpack full of gifts. I was so proud of myself because I was like, yeah, I'm the man. I brought gifts for you. And he opened them, and he was like, he was mildly amused. And we had a moment where we're sitting, patting myself on the back. I brought you gifts. He looked at me, and then he pointed to my shoes and said, hey, you wouldn't happen to have a pair for me? And I looked at his shoes, and he was wearing sandals, and they were like basically cardboard and string. And matter of fact, one broke as we were playing. And my heart broke, because that's the one thing I didn't bring. The thing he needed the most at that moment, I didn't bring. So I can easily go see that circumstance and get into solution mode, because I learned about his walk for water. He walks 3 miles down this rocky mountain into this ravine to get water and has to walk back up with a 40-pound jerry can every other day. He rotates with the siblings. Matter of fact, I wanted to do the walk with him once, and he's like, no. One, you're going to slow me down, Don. And two, it's too dangerous. They wouldn't let me do it. Now, I could get into solution mode and say, Goitim, I'm going to get you 50 pairs of shoes. I'm going to make sure, do my best to get you clean water in your village. But in that moment, what does it look like to affirm his inherent dignity, the second pillar? Well, it came in the form of a question, and it's just seeing who he is. And the question was this: what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? He looked at me, and he was just like, so confused. He'd never been asked that question before, because in that village, that is just not a choice. You don't have a choice to be, to have a vision for your life. You live to survive, right? And so he looked at me like, he didn't answer. He was silent. Well, the following year, I got to visit him again. I said, Goitim, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, I want to be a teacher or a professional soccer player. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. You know, you're starting to dream. Like, what changed from a year ago? He's like, well, I never dreamed that I'd meet someone from America, and then I met you, my sponsor. And so it got me thinking, what else could I dream for my life? I was like, that's cool. Well, I got to meet him the following year. I said, Goitim, what do you want to be when you grow up? He's like, I want to be a professor. It's like, whoa, it's getting more specific. He said, or a farmer, but a better farmer than my dad. And his dad was there, and it was a little awkward moment, but it's cool. And the reason why he said farmer is because World Vision's been working with the farmers in that area. Farmers that have been struggling generation after generation to just raise enough for their family. And they've been working to consolidate and pool with pooling of the sponsorship dollars together. They've been working to educate the farmers on how to rotate crops. And for the first time in the history of that village, they produce more crops than they need. They have a surplus. Word has gotten out to the neighboring villages, and they're starting to wonder, what is going on in that village? Can we get some help over? Can you help us? And isn't that how the gospel is supposed to spread? It's a beautiful thing, right? And so you're starting to see broken circumstances restored and inherent dignity affirmed and communities transformed. And our lives are also changed in ways we never thought possible. Now, the love of God is now calling Countryside to deepen our partnership with our brothers and sisters in the Democratic Republic of Congo, otherwise known as, lovingly known as the DRC. Countryside has a long history through the covenant, through ECC, our denomination, with partnering with World Vision in the Congo, and we thank you for your continued support. And as we continue to support this country, our sights now are turning towards a new area called Karowa. This is an area that's mostly agricultural. It's in the northern part of the DRC, and they make their living mostly on coffee, agriculture, livestock. The area is marked with poor land usage. There's no clean water, very few of it. They suffer from child malnutrition, and partially because the parents are not educated enough to know when the child is doesn't have the right nutrition. Think about it. You have generations and generations of having kids and accepting that not all of them will make it to the age of 5. And as sad as that is, that's something you just have to accept living there. And all those parents, if you ask them, they want their kids in school, even though half of what they make every month goes towards school, towards education. But they'll sacrifice what they can. But when these kids get to school, the classrooms are so overcrowded. You have half the girls in these schools in Carroll dropping out. Half the girls dropping out of school. And because you have these young girls that are not in school and at home, a third of those girls are married off to older men. because the parents don't see another way to break the cycle of poverty than to wed their daughters off to older men. There's a local mine in Caroa as well. As you have kids that aren't in school, they're forced to work in the local mine. That's also not helping the child mortality in this area. But friends, let me tell you, as Countryside has been in partnership with N'Gemina and Ledia, and now we've seen that this works. We've seen fruits from these communities. And in just a few years in Caroa, you're going to hear some amazing praise reports. As dim of a picture as I just painted, you're going to see the exact opposite in just a few years. So today, I'm asking each and every one of you to become a child sponsor in Caroa, to step up and saying yes to sponsoring one or more of the hundreds of kids in this community that are desperately waiting on a sponsor to restore their circumstance and affirm their inherent dignity as a child of God. Now, for years, we've done this here at Countryside. We've partnered with churches all over the U.S. The ECC has done this. And in the same fashion, typically what would happen is after the service, you'd go out in the lobby, you'd see pictures of kids hanging on clothespins, string and clothespins, and you'd pick the kid for whatever reason, because they're cute, same birthday, whatever. And it's been working. It's been great. Again, progress has been happening. But for the last year or so, we've been praying some big prayers at World Vision, big prayers that God just wouldn't let rest. We'd continue to push us. We just ask God, would you push us in new ways to better and better serve his vulnerable children all around the world? And he led us to ask this question: what else could we do to affirm the inherent dignity of these kids from the very first step of the relationship with their sponsor? What would it look like for the first time in history if they were empowered to choose us?
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one.
Pretty cool, right? So this Wednesday, August 21st, mark your calendars, because there's going to be an amazing party in Caroa. It's going to be a party. We're calling it the Countryside Choosing Party, because we're going to invite dozens, maybe hundreds of kids to Caroa to celebrate that they no longer need to wait for a sponsor. Instead, they'll come to this party being able to choose their sponsor. We've been going, for those that have been going through the Matthew 25 challenge, you've had challenges every day. Consider this like the last challenge of the Matthew 25 challenge, because you're putting yourselves in the shoes of a sponsored child that has yet to be sponsored. Sometimes they wait years. They see their neighbors getting sponsors, and they wonder sometimes, why am I not being picked? Well, they're going to go to this party knowing that they get to choose who's going to be their sponsor. And they're going to write to you why they chose you. And it's the reasons are so divine, so beautiful. It's so supernatural sometimes in the sense of how did they choose, how did they know? I was at one party in Uganda where the person wrote, I chose you because you looked like good parents. Little did they know that who they chose, they were struggling to have kids. They were in the adoption process, and sure enough, they chose someone that wanted to be parents. Stuff like that happens. You can't make that stuff up. It's incredible. And so you see God at work. And so one thing I do want to share that I didn't share in the first service, but you guys get a little bonus here. Like at this party, you see these kids just having the time of their lives. It's such a cool, it is the time of their lives. There's a bounce house, there's dancing, there's singing, there's food, because we want them to celebrate choosing you. And this one time, I saw this kid, you know, as you saw in the video, like they're kind of looking at all the pictures. But this one child was dancing, and he was doing a dance as he was looking at up and down the pictures, doing his dance. And then he picked one. And I had to just ask him, like, why did you choose that sponsor? And he said, well, I was looking around and I was dancing, and I saw this one picture where the person wasn't smiling. And I was hoping that my dancing would cheer that person up. I was like, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's so cool. Now, the original plan was for Pastor John and I, after this service, to take your pictures and fly to Carowa. But because of some conflicting travel plans, we had to postpone that. It's going to happen, but the party is still in effect. Matter of fact, we got on a call with our staff in the DRC, F. Patrick in the bottom right corner there, and they're already making plans for this epic party to celebrate you. And matter of fact, Countryside, we're joining a bunch of other churches today and really wanting to uplift this community of Carowa. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to come back up and give some final instructions and next steps. But before I do, I've been waiting all week to hear Pastor John's heart on this movement of Chosen and what it means to Countryside. Can we welcome Pastor John back up?
Thank you. Just a couple minutes, and I'll let you back up. But thank you. And you had to put me up after this video again with tears in my eyes. Every time I see it, blows me away. Because I know that when we sponsor children, it changes the trajectory of their entire life. And these guys have shared stories, a lot of specific stories of adults that they met who said, I was a sponsored child, and now they're flourishing in the world, in their occupations, all around the world, and they get to meet people who say, I was a sponsored child. You made a difference in my life. And so Lynn and I, we sponsor a child, and so my question to the folks from World Vision when we were at our conference in Chicago was, what if we already sponsor a child, and what if several people, we've done this a few times in our church, then what? You know, I don't want you to come all this way to Countryside and just get a handful of sponsors. And the woman who was, the 30-something-year-old woman who was leading this seminar that I went to, said, well, my husband and I and two kids, we sponsor 6 children on our refrigerator. And so my response was, okay, I'm sorry I asked that question, you know. We are a very generous church. We give in so many ways, week after week, but I think God is asking us to be sacrificial. We sponsor a kid, but Lynn and I went out to eat a couple nights ago on my day off, and when we ate the meal, we got the receipt, we got the ticket, whatever, and the bill, and I looked at it, and it said $48, and I thought, oh, $48, not including tip, and so it was into the 50s, and I thought, with this one meal, we could have supported a child for the entire month. And so I thought, we can afford this. It's not a huge sacrifice for Lynn and I not to eat out 5 times in 1 month. We could skip one of those and go home and have sandwich so that we could sponsor another child. And so we got our picture taken in the first service. There were how many in the first service? I think I heard 38. And the congregation was much smaller in the first service. And so I think we can do better in the second service. It would be my prayer that we can sponsor 100 of the 1,000 kids still in Karawa who are waiting to be sponsored. That's been my prayer and our prayer as a prayer team and staff. Lord, could you do something incredible through Countryside to bless a child for life? And so next week at this time, during the or right after the service, it'll be Reveal Sunday. Reveal Sunday means you go out in the hallway, you get your envelope, you open it up, and you see the child that chose you holding your picture. And they'll take that picture, I imagine. I can imagine them taking it back into their room, in their house or apartment or wherever, and putting it up on the wall. This is my sponsor. What an incredible honor it is to live into the kingdom of God like this. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for our people. I pray, God, that you'll do something supernatural through us as we not only live generous lives, giving back to you by giving to the least of these, but I pray, God, that we'll live sacrificial lives and trust you, that you'll provide for us when we live sacrificially. So move through us, Lord. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, so there's just a couple of very simple steps to be chosen, and requires this card that you got when you received when you in your program. And so two steps. First one is this. If you have a smartphone today, go ahead and scan that QR code, and it'll prompt you. It'll take your website and it'll just prompt you with a bunch of questions. You just fill that out. And then the second step is the most important step, whether you have a smartphone or not, is you're going to go back there and you're going to take the most epic photo that you've ever taken, because that is the photo that a child is going to choose this Wednesday. Now, maybe you're missing family members. Maybe you're watching online. That's simple. Just upload a photo, a family photo, and they'll be able to choose that photo as well. You do have till 8 o'clock tonight to do that. That's it. And again, as Pastor John said, next week you want to come back and it's going to be Reveal Sunday. You'll get to see who chose you. It's beautiful when you talk to our staff, like F. Patrick in the field, you talk to them about the difference that this has made in their community. He'll tell you that one of the frustrating things that they say is that they try to teach the kids that they have a choice in life. They have choices that they can make in life. But oftentimes, because they see their circumstance, that message falls on deaf ears. Like, what are you talking about? We have choices in life. Well, because of people like this church that put yourself in a posture to be chosen, the message finally sinks in, because they walk into that tent and they get to see your picture and they get to choose their sponsor. Talk about changing trajectories. That's what this is about. Kingdom trajectory in ways we'll never fully understand, but know that God's behind it. And so some of you, though, maybe also like be wondering this question: what if I don't get chosen? Because you're getting flashbacks to elementary school, not getting picked. I promise you, you will be chosen at this party. You will be chosen. And so Connor has prepared a special song, and the lyrics are just right at home, right in line of what we're doing here this morning. And as he sings that song, if you want to scan the code while he's doing, that's great. If you want to just sit in the lyrics and sit in the spirit of the song, it's just let it minister to you in that way. But want to thank you for just your continued support and really helping build this upside down kingdom of God.